Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
Our Lord Jesus, we're revisiting a sermon series that was called Afterlife, and it actually was probably the most popular series that we did a little over a year ago. Because, listen, people want to know about the afterlife. It's built into us. We want to know what's beyond. We're curious about it. God made us that way. That's why. And what lies beyond? I heard about three guys who died together. They went to heaven. St. Peter saw them. And as they came up to the pearly gates, he looked at them and said, we have one rule here in heaven. Just one rule. The rule is, do not step on any ducks. They are God's favorite creation. So they enter heaven and they see ducks everywhere. It's almost impossible not to step on a duck. The first guy accidentally steps on one, and soon St. Peter brings the ugliest woman he's ever seen and chains them together. It says your punishment for stepping on a duck is to be chained to this person for the rest of your lives. The next day, the second guy steps on a duck. Sure enough, St. Peter comes along with an ugly woman and chains them together. Seeing this, the third guy is very, 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 very careful. And so he goes for months and doesn't step on any ducks. And one day, St. Peter comes along with this beautiful woman. I mean, she looks like a supermodel. Brings him, chains them together, and leaves without saying a word. And the man looks at her and goes, I wonder what I did to deserve this good fortune. The blonde says, I don't know about you, but I stepped on a duck. Maybe there's ducks in heaven, but if there is, do not step on one. But with the afterlife, what you do, and here's the truth we're going to look at, what we do with Jesus Christ will determine what happens to us in the afterlife. You know, death is not always something that we like to talk about. Death is not something that it's something that we know is coming one day. We hope that it is a far off. For some of us, it may be a closer reality than others. When we go to a funeral of a loved one, someone that we love, someone that we're close to, it hits home even more, makes us think about it. But here's some of the facts of it. 55,000 people die every day in the world. 56 million people die each year. If you live to be 70 years of age, almost 4 billion people would have died during your lifetime. Now, what's interesting about the afterlife when it comes to heaven and hell, a large majority of people believe in heaven. In fact, about 3 out of every 4 people believe that there is a heaven. But only 40% of people believe that there is a hell. So basically, it shows that we kind of have a cafeteria version of Christianity. I'll take the good stuff, I'll leave that away, and I don't need that, I'll take this. And that's what some people are doing. That's what they're doing. I tell you, by the way, I've never lived in such a state that loved their buffets more than anyone else. You all, that should be your state motto, we love buffets. That's what it should say. We love buffets. You get all you can eat, it's everywhere. Amen, right? We love the buffet. But here's the thing. Here's the thing with our life. We get one life. We get one. Let's say that the average years in which we get are, let's just say 75, all right? And let's say this red tape here that I have on this rope represents our 75 years. So right here, you're born. Right here, you go through school. Then you eventually get into college and you start to work. And you work, and maybe your goal is to retire. And so you, let's say halfway is in the 30s, right? And so you're working, you retire. You retire. You have this much left of the red on this rope. Yes, I get to retire. And so then maybe you get 5 years, the average age for a retiree. In some areas, some states, is only 5 years. Some it's 7 years. Some it's a little bit more. Some it's a little bit less. Depends on how many buffets you have in your state, maybe. But that's all you get. That's all you get. And in this rope here, just pretend with me, use your imagination. Imagine that there's no end to this rope, and I'm going to just put it behind the speaker and pretend like you didn't see it, all right? And so we have it there, and the rope goes on forever, and it represents eternity. You're going to spend eternity. You see, you are a soul. This body is a shell. It is something that one day will die. It will cease to be, but you will continue to live on forever. You see, the question is, what will you do with Jesus during this period of time that it'll affect all of this? Which one is more wise for us to invest in? Which one is more wise to spend our time in, our resources, as far as in our lives? What should we do? And so the Bible tells us this. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I want to show you something. This is what it says. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, in other words, you have made the decision to be a Christ follower, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting on the right hand of God. Now notice this, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So it's a decision that you and I make to set our mind on things above. It's not that we forget about everything else here on earth, that we forget about our family or things that are important. There are things in our life that are important, or you forget about your job. The Lord knows there's things that we need, but he's telling you and I, we need to have a mindset that is set on heavenly things. And you see, when our mind is set on the things above, we're going to care about the right things we should care about. You ever care so deeply about something, or in the moment, that you realize, man, that really just wasn't that big of a deal. Anywhere from losing your car keys in the moment, it's like the end of the world. Like you want to find them. You want to find those. Or other things, like you have your car and your child puts a dent in the side of your car. Like, you're not happy about it, but you're like, really? Really? I mean, how much do you really have the love for that car? It could be something with your house, and everyone wants to take care of the stuff that they are given, right? I mean, we should, but where is your mindset? Is your mind so set on those things? Are those the only things that you care about? Because when you become a Christian and you're a Christian, your mindset should be on the kingdom of God. Listen, moms and dads, you're leading your family. You're leading your children, whether to care about the things of God or not. You see, there's a saying, and maybe you've heard it before, more is caught than taught. It's true. It's true. If you really want to teach your kids to love the things of God, they're going to watch you. They're going to watch you because more is caught than taught. And so if you set your minds on things above, your children are going to naturally, they're going to pick that up. They're going to pick that up. Yes, you should teach them, but they're going to catch it. They're going to see it. You see, we need to make sure that we know where our citizenship is at. Yeah, physically, our citizenship is the United States of America. Wonderful. I love America. But our citizenship, truly, as believers, the Bible tells us this in Philippians 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your citizenship is in heaven. And so the Lord wants you and I to make sure for this afterlife that's going to come, is going to come. All right, no doubt about it. We don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? You know, I heard a pastor say once that if there was a sparrow that could fly from the earth and could fly a billion miles away, and there was a planet that had nothing but bird seed on it, and it went and took one little bird seed in its mouth and then, you know, flew and back to the earth and put the bird seed onto the earth, and it flew back and forth, and the place of where the bird seed that was the size of Mars, which you can fit like I don't know how many thousands of Earths in, and they go back and forth. It takes them a long time to fly. I mean, something that is a billion miles away, and they finally come down to the last piece of bird seed to bring back down to Earth. Guess what? Eternity has just still begun. In this life, it's a prepping ground for the next one. The question is, will you be ready. Here's some things that I have, we went over, and I think they're interesting. Oftentimes people have these questions. So what about, what happens when I die? Like, what happens? Do I go right to heaven? Do I go to a holding place? What happens? The Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this is what happens. Go with me over to Luke chapter 16. It's a story that Jesus gave his disciples. It's not a parable. It is a true story. It doesn't fit the requirements of a parable. A parable is more generic, whereas a story here, when Jesus gives it, is more specific. In fact, he even names someone. He never named anyone in his parables. So we do not believe this is to be a parable, but as fact. And so it says in verse 22, I just want to see something here. What we have is the rich man, the rich guy, right? And we have Lazarus, who was a poor beggar. He was a poor beggar. He begged at the rich man's table. He just wanted the crumbs that would fall. And so the rich man dies. Lazarus dies. And this is what happens after he dies. So he's a believer. This is what happens. And so in verse 22, and so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which is also, all right, hang on there with me. It's called paradise. And that's a different time with Old Testament saints. I'm not going to get into all that. That can be a little confusing maybe if you're not familiar with the Bible. But to know that that's a place where believers went. And the rich man died also, and he was buried. And it says in 23, and he, being in torments in Hades, lifted up his eyes. And so here we see the rich man. He is carried away by the angels. Have you ever been at someone's bedside, or at least you have heard of the rumors or the stories, or where someone passes away and they can see somebody? They can see somebody. And they'll even go, hey, do you see them? Who is that? And it seems that there comes a peace for the believer that is a Christian, that they come to peace of knowing that's an angel coming to get me. You hear different things. You also hear of folks of having their feet feel like they're burning. What's going on? We're seeing something. We're seeing the physical pass into the eternal. You don't always see that, but people have seen it. The stories you'll hear from nurses, sometimes from other pastors. So when you die, the angels will carry you away. They'll go with you into heaven. Some think, okay, well, when I die, I'll become an angel. Or my grandma or grandpa, they became an angel, and because you love them, right? And they're watching over me. They're an angel watching over me. And I'm not trying to be a popular bubble here of hope there, but they do not become an angel. They don't. They don't. And this is what happens. They become. They have what they call an intermediate body in heaven. They are well. They are good. You can still have that hope of seeing them again if they know Christ. But they don't become an angel watching over you. No. And let's be honest here. Do you really want grandma to be an angel that watches over you and sees everything? No. Of course not. Of course not. Nor your parents, right? I mean, come on. By the way, my parents are here this morning. I don't know where they're sitting. They're sitting somewhere. And so good to have them here this morning in visiting. And but no, you don't want them to see everything, but I believe they get reports. Think about it. Think about your loved ones who are Christians who went on before you. Maybe they've died years or decades ago. And you think, man, do they even know who I am as an adult? Do they know what I do? I don't think they know everything about you, but get this. You know, you have relatives who go on before you. They go on maybe 10, 20 years after that person has passed away. And they know who they are. They get a report. They get a report. So how is Jim doing? How's Lucas doing? What is Lucas? Oh, he has three kids. He's a pastor. He's in South Carolina. I believe they get those reports. They get those things. You see, you also got to realize that in heaven, God is outside of time and space. So is heaven. So is heaven. And so this is what we see. We see that death is a relocation of the same person from one place to another. The place changes, but the person remains the same. This is what Philippians tells us in chapter 1. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. It's better than here. Much better. So come to this conclusion on the angels. Angels are angels. Humans are humans. Angels are their own beings, have their own histories, memories. They have their own distinct identity. Some, they have names. Like the ones we know of for sure is Michael, the archangel. As far as we know, he's maybe the only archangel because that's the only one mentioned. You have Gabriel, which is an important angel. And under God's direction, they serve us on earth. They serve us on earth. See, here's the thing. 1 Corinthians tells us this in chapter 6. It says, don't you realize you will judge angels one day? He said, no, wait a second, preacher. You're blowing my mind here a little bit. We're going to judge angels. What does that look like? I want to know more. I don't know. You have to ask Jesus one day, okay? You'll have to experience that later. What I know is that we don't become angels. Unless your name is an angel, then I guess you become a different angel. Anyway, just kidding. But I wonder about the stories they'll tell us about maybe some of the battles, the spiritual battles of the unseen that were around us, and maybe we felt them in our own family, but they were there. They'll tell us. Here's another thing I want you to know is you are conscious in heaven of your feelings, memories, and thinking. Luke 16 goes on to talk about this in verse 27. It says, then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers, and testifying to them, lest they come to this place of torment. Now right here is the rich man. He is conscious there in a place called hell. Some will call it Hades. It's a place you don't want to be. He's saying, so we're conscious of our memories. We're conscious of our emotions and our feelings in which God gave us. We see in scripture with God, we see that he is said to enjoy love, laughter. He takes delight and rejoices. He's also angry. He can be angry, happy, jealous, glad. God has these emotions. He created these emotions in us. And so our emotions are a reflection of, and sometimes because of sin, a distortion of God's emotions. To be like God means to have and express emotions. Hence, we should expect that in heaven, emotions will still exist for God's glory. You know, I don't have this in my sermon. I didn't preach this part in the first service, but some will wonder, you know, are there pets in heaven? Are there things I enjoy now that are in heaven? You see, you know, preacher, I like to golf. Will there be golfing in heaven? Yes, but you actually might be good in heaven. I don't know. Maybe I'll be good at golf in heaven. Maybe it'll be that sport that you really love in heaven. I don't know. But do the pets go into heaven? Just dogs, not cats. Sorry about that. It says that somewhere in the Bible. No, I'm just teasing. Before some of you get angry, like, what is he? He's dissing cats here. What's up with that? I kind of joke about cats a little bit. It's just kind of fun, all right? Loosen up. We're in church. We can laugh a little bit. But what I believe is this, is the things that we enjoy the most here on earth, we'll enjoy in heaven. I really do believe that. You know, what I do know, there's horses in heaven. So where's that? What do you think Jesus comes riding in? On a white horse, right? So if there's horses in heaven, should be other animals in heaven, I would think. Just an opinion. Here's the thing I want you to know. Heaven is going to be beyond awesome. We don't have a word for it. Some people think, well, why would I want to go to heaven when I could go to hell, hang out with my buddies, drink a couple beers, shoot some pool, and joke around with my friends? Listen, you got the wrong idea, my friend, about what heaven is. You got the wrong idea about what hell is. You see, heaven is going to be beyond awesome. There's two lies that our enemy wants us to believe. He wants us first to think that heaven is going to be boring. It's going to be boring. Here's Psalms 84. 84:10 tells us this. Better is one day in your courts. Talking about God. Talking about heaven. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Think about that. Think about your best day that you've ever had. Or if you could imagine the best day that you could ever have in your mind. It doesn't compare. It doesn't compare to what heaven is going to be. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 any other lives, any other days that you could come up with in your mind. It is beyond what we can think. This is just my opinion. I think there are sounds and there are colors. Think about this. I think there's colors in which we've never seen. How do you describe a color that no one else has ever seen? How do you write down, how could some of these, like John the Revelator, write down some of the things that he saw, like, here's a color that no one ever saw. It's not like blue, it's not like purple, it's not like red. I don't know what to say. I think there's things that just simply can't be described because of who we are in this flesh. But one day we'll be able to handle it. We'll be able to see it. We'll be able to experience it. Psalm 16 tells us this: you fill me with joy in your presence and eternal pleasure at your right hand. It will be joy. There'll be so much joy. There'll be so much love. There'll be so much worship. Listen, if you don't like worshiping and singing at church, you're going to hate heaven, all right? There's going to be wonderful worship beyond what we even could even think of. It's going to be great. You say, you don't want to miss heaven, but I warn you with this. Hell's not what you think either. Now, sometimes people debate, man, hell's maybe not really that hot. It is really hot. This, that, and they'll go back and forth. Listen to me. Hell won't be bad just because there's fire and brimstone there. No. Hell's not going to be bad because of the torment that goes on there. Hell is going to be awful because Jesus, who is God, has decided to distance himself completely from you. And his presence is not there. That ultimately is why you don't want to go there. Maybe there is different degrees of heaven. Maybe there are certain places, are different degrees of heaven and hell. Maybe there are certain places that aren't that bad. And part of me, I hope so. Honestly, I hope so. I don't think so, but I do hope that. What I know is that it's a place of no hope, of no love, and a place, and you see this with the rich man. He begs to just dip your finger in the water and put it on my tongue. Of a place of torture. Just not having water is torture within itself. By the way, I'm going to answer this just while I'm kind of on the subject. Someone like, why would a loving God send someone to hell? Listen. God gives us, you and I, free will. He gives us a free choice. If he made you go to heaven and you rejected the things of God, you rejected, and then he made you go to heaven, that is not a just God. Not. God gives you a choice. And so hell was originally designed and for Satan and his fallen demons, who are fallen angels. That's who it was designed for. And so God simply will grant the wish of those who've rejected and rejected and rejected. What about those who have never heard the gospel? The Bible says in Romans 1, they are without excuse. God has given enough light, enough evidence for you and for I that to show us there's something more. There's something more. You can't look at the wonderful and beautiful creation. You can't watch Planet Earth, I think that's what it's called, there on the Discovery Channel and watch some of the, I love to watch that every now and then. You see just the beauty of the earth and go, oh, that's all one big mistake. Nah, God had a plan. He had a plan. Listen, the best day you could ever have here on earth is a glimpse, just a glimpse of heaven. If you're a Christian, the worst day you could ever have or the worst day you could ever imagine is a glimpse and the closest that you'll ever experience hell. But listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, or if you're watching online and you don't know Christ, the best day you could ever have here on earth of winning $1 billion and having a beautiful spouse or handsome spouse, whatever, all the things that you could ever want, it'd be the best day you could ever have. That is the closest you will ever get to heaven. I beg with you, I plead with you, come to know Jesus. Maybe you have questions, maybe you have doubts you still wrestle with. That's okay. He's not afraid of your doubts. He's not. And neither are we, in fact. Neither am I. I love to discuss, questions that you have. I won't hate on you, I promise. I'd love to sit down with you and answer any of those questions you might have. It's okay to have questions, right? Amen? And so here's the other thing. Most people are going to heaven. That's the second lie that we get told. Doesn't everybody go to heaven? In fact, 94% of people, some different studies, believe that they're going to heaven. I wish that was true. I do, but it's not. It's not true. In fact, there are studies that show very clearly that for every one person in our country who believes they're going to hell, for every one person who believes they're going to hell, there are 120 who believe they're going to heaven. 120 to 1. What does that tell me? It tells me this, that there are many, many great people, people great, who are greatly deceived. They think, well, I'm going to heaven because just because I show up to church. Or I'm going to heaven because my parents are Christians. Or my uncle's a pastor. Or my dad's a pastor. Or I consider myself religious. Or I believe there's a God. Or I believe that there's Jesus Christ. But you've never made the decision to put your faith and trust and to repent of your sin. And you know all the right answers, but you've never made that decision to become a Christian. Jesus said this in Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Why is there only a few who find it? Because they depend upon themselves. You see, there's no amount of good works. You can never be good enough to get in. You'll never be good enough. I'm not good enough. Listen, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a pastor. I'm going to heaven because I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. I've been saved. Same for you. Don't miss that. Don't miss it. See, when you travel overseas and you go to different countries, what do you need? You need a passport. You need to get it stamped. And we need the stamp of the blood of Jesus Christ. No passport, no entrance. See, two things will surprise us when we enter heaven. Who is there and who is not? Well, read of about a tombstone in Indiana, in a Indiana cemetery that's more than 100 years old. It had this following epitaph that said, "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I, so I am now, so you will be, so prepare for death and follow me." An unknown person came by and scratched these additional words into the tombstone: "To follow you, I am a bit content until I know which way you went." Listen, there's more than this life. This life is a prepping ground. Here's some four other things I want you to know. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn over to the book of Revelation. You see, where is the book of Revelation? It is the last book in the Bible. It is the last book in the Bible. I hope to next year to do a sermon series on the book of Revelation, and we'll do a small group series. We're playing with that. We're working on that. And there's a lot of people interested in that. Why? Because the end times matter. Prophecy matters, not to scare you, but to prepare you. And tell you, in studying the book of Revelation most of my life, you say, you're a young pastor. What do you mean most of your life? I've studied the book of Revelation most of my life. My father, my parents are here, right? So my dad knows. We've talked so much about the book of Revelation. I grew up being taught the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. When you study it, if it scares you, get saved. If you're a Christian, it'll encourage you. It will build you up. It's a wonderful thing because you realize you don't know everything, but God has given us certain things to build us up, to prepare us, and it'll encourage you. You see that God has a plan. Here's number four. God will establish a new heaven and a new earth one day. And it says in Revelation chapter 21 in verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." I don't know why. You have to ask Jesus. "And then I saw John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared for his bride, adorned for her husband." There will be a new Jerusalem. It's huge. I'm not going to go into all the detail. The Bible does, though. The Bible does. I wish I had time. It goes into detail. This is how it's just as high and broad and long. So together, it's equal. To give you an idea, if you were to go from Miami to New York City, that's about 1,300 miles. That's how long the city is. That's how wide the city is. And that's how high the city is. It would take up about half of the lower 48 states. It is going to be awesome. It's going to be huge. It goes into more detail, but I'm not going to get into all of that here this morning. Here's the other thing I want you to know. God one day will do away with death, mourning, and pain. Man, I'm glad. You see so much hurt in this world. And God will judge everyone. There is a judgment seat of Christ, which is for believers, those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. And you will be rewarded for what you've done for Jesus here while here on earth. He will take your works of what sort they are, and he will try them by fire, because fire doesn't lie. And if you have wood, hay, and stubble, in other words, things that are not of value, he'll throw this into the fire, and it will come out nothing but ash. But those sayings that were kingdom worthy, those sayings of investing in the kingdom of God, taking care of your family, taking care of your church, and investing in the things of God, sharing the gospel, those things are like precious jewels and gold. And when they are thrown into the fire and tried, they come out just the same. Why? There are things that are worth investing in. Listen, nothing wrong with having a retirement plan, but I hope you have a spiritual retirement plan. I don't want you to stand before God and be ashamed for your lack of caring for the kingdom of God. This is what it says, and there's so much more, but in chapter 20 of Revelation 15, and not anyone found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, there's a great white throne judgment, is what it's called. And the great white throne judgment takes place in heaven. It is a judgment for those who are not Christians, who have rejected Christ. And the Lord will take you, and he will look at your good works. He will look at your bad works. He'll look. But listen, you won't get in because your good works outweigh your bad. No. It simply will be to show that no amount of good works could ever get you in. And your name is now written in the book of life. You see, God keeps a book. And when we come to know him, he writes our name into the book. Why? He wants to show that he cares. You never seen some of those, maybe even your own Bible or some older Bibles in the front where folks will put their family tree and they'll write it down. That's what God's doing with his book of life. He's a loving heavenly father and he cares for you. And maybe in your mind you think, I blame God for this, I blame God for that. There's things that I disagree with God. Well, he is God, not you. And his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. But what I know, he will right all the wrongs one day. He will right all the wrongs. And this great white throne judgment, be careful if you're part of an organization that says it's okay to one day, I look forward to being part of the great white throne judgment. No, you don't. One either means one of two things. You're lost and you don't have Christ. Two, Christians will be there, but they won't be the ones being judged. They will be there watching. And listen, up until after this, there will be no more tears in heaven. But up to this point, listen, there will be tears and there will be wailing and weeping during the great white throne judgment. Because when you see loved ones and people and friends that you know that have rejected Jesus Christ and they do not get into heaven, they realize what they've missed out on. They realize they've missed out. The time is too late. And they will be thrown into the lake of fire. It will be horrible. There will be crying. There will be weeping for every one of us. But he'll wipe our tears away. He'll wipe them away. And there will be a day where there's no more pain, where there's no more death. Because God is a good God. He won't make you go to a place that you've already rejected and rejected and rejected and had a chance to accept him. Here's the last one here for you. God will dwell with us. We'll be with him. In the Old Testament, the tradition of the high priest when they entered to the Holy of Holies. Maybe you're familiar with that term, but Jews had a temple there in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, right? And the Holy of Holies was just that. It was holy. Once a year, the high priest would go in and they would complete what they were doing with the sacrifices. They would go in once a year and they had to make sure that they were confessed up. They had everything right with God. But what they would do just in case, they would tie a golden rope or a rope intertwined with gold, basically a golden rope. And as they would enter in, just in case, if they were to fall dead because of the holiness of God, they could pull them out. How crazy is that? You know, Moses said, God, I want to see you. And he's on Mount Sinai. God, I want to see you. I want to see your face, God. And he's like, man, if you see me, you're going to die. You can't handle it. And so you go on the cliff of the rock here and turn your head, and yet his face still glowed. It was something supernatural. It really was. But we're going to be with him. Why? We're going to see the Lord. We're going to see him face to face. Why? Because we won't be in this body. We'll be in a new body. Some people ask, man, what will I look like? Some of you ladies are like, I want to look like a supermodel. I don't know. Maybe you will. Maybe your husband, you won't be married in heaven. Some of you are like, all right, this is the best part of the sermon right here. I won't be married in heaven. I don't know. Will he look like Brad Pitt? Probably not. I don't know what you'll look like. The Bible says you'll be known as you are known. You'll look good. Maybe. but they are in heaven. We will dwell with him. This is what scripture tells us in Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Man, we're going to be with him. There will be no sun because the Lamb of God is the light. There will be peace. We will forevermore. One day God will right the wrong. I can't tell you all what God's going to do, but I know that we're with him. And I want you to know here this morning, I want you to know what will happen with you when you die will be determined with what you do with Jesus Christ. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. He really doesn't. I have three children. I would not give up and sacrifice one of them for all of you as much as I love you all. And neither would you for me. And yet God did that with his own son. You see, scripture tells us in 2 Peter 3, the Lord is patient with you. He is. I'm glad he's patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, God, he believes in hell so much, he let his own son die. He is the answer. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting? The afterlife is going to come. See, I'm young. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. There's plenty of young people we know that die before we think their time is. Maybe you got anger and bitterness towards God. Tell him about it. He knows about it. Because in the end, maybe you don't get your 75 years. Maybe you get 35 and you're right here. We have loved ones we can think back that got 20, but they died in their teens or died as a child. And as sad as that is, knowing where they're at and where they're spending eternity, in the end, maybe some of the bitterness and anger that we have, and you just keep going and going and going, you realize that this little life that we get, whether it's 25, 75, 100, it's just that little piece of time that we get to invest in the kingdom of God. And what we do with this time will determine how all the rest of this goes. The afterlife matters. I pray that you'll put your faith and trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we come before you.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.